KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have mostly clear sunny skies here this morning, and 66 degrees is your current temperature here at the KJAN studios. We look for a high temperature today of around 84 with sunny and mild conditions here in the Nishna Valley. Good morning, I'm Chris Parks with a check of the latest in local news here on KJAN. Starting off, taking a look at area news. The Fremont County Sheriff's Office reports 31-year-old Clayton Nathaniel Parsons of Hamburg was arrested Tuesday on felony weapon and drug and other charges. His arrest followed an investigation into an incident that occurred on Sunday in Sydney. Deputies with the Fremont County Canine Unit conducted an investigation into a disturbance that took place at the Casey's General Store in Sydney on Sunday after they received a report that a male displayed a handgun during an argument. Their investigation led authorities to Parsons, who was arrested in the 3400 block of 310th Street in rural Hamburg. Parsons was arrested for two aggravated misdemeanor counts of harassment in the first degree, felony intimidation with a dangerous weapon, and a felony charge of conspiracy to possess or distribute methamphetamine. He was being held at the Fremont County Jail on $24,000 bond. Parsons was previously released from jail on July 3rd after posting bond for a separate arrest that occurred on June 5th for intimidation with a dangerous weapon, harassment first, and false imprisonment. A Nebraska man was arrested following a traffic stop in Adams County on Wednesday night. At 8:24 p.m., deputies with the Adams County Sheriff's Office conducted a traffic stop at the intersection of Highway 34 and Hunter Trail. After investigation, Colton Paul Roberts of Nebraska City, Nebraska, was arrested for possession of a controlled substance, marijuana, and possession of drug paraphernalia. Roberts was taken to the Adams County Jail and held on $1,300 bond. A man from Colorado was arrested on Wednesday night in Red Oak after being removed from an Amtrak train. At 11:22 p.m., Red Oak police received a report of a violent, intoxicated male aboard an Amtrak train approaching Red Oak. Red Oak police and Montgomery County Sheriff's deputies escorted the male off the train. 67-year-old Michael Lewis Maliniak of Denver, Colorado, was charged with public intoxication and held at the Montgomery County Jail on $300 bond. Red Oak police report two arrests for disorderly conduct on Wednesday night at around 9 p.m. 34-year-old Melissa Ann Hummel of Red Oak was arrested in the 400 block of South 4th Street for disorderly conduct, and 36-year-old Katrina L. Wenig of Red Oak was arrested on a charge of disorderly conduct in the 600 block of East Knuckles Street. They were both taken to the Montgomery County Jail and held on $300 cash bond. The Council Bluffs Police Department reports a man was assaulted and had his wallet stolen early Thursday morning. A report of an assault came in at 1:11 a.m. on Thursday from the area of 35th Street and 4th Avenue in Council Bluffs. Officers made contact with the victim, who stated he was walking in the area of 37th Street and 2nd Avenue when he was approached by a white male with blonde hair and a beard. The man struck the victim with a blunt object in an unprovoked attack. The victim stated after the assault, his wallet was missing. He was taken to a metro area hospital for treatment of non-life-threatening injuries. If anyone has information on the incident, they're asked to contact the Council Bluffs Criminal Investigation Division or Crime Stoppers. The Iowa Department of Human Services announced that it will pay the insurance providers for the state's Medicaid program for low-income and disabled residents an additional $386 million in state and federal money. Governor Kim Reynolds says the state is still saving money despite the increase in dollars.
The state's portion, it has gone down about 1%. But, you know, since I was sworn in governor, I said my priority was to make sure that we had a sustainable managed care program, that we really were doing everything we could, working with some vulnerable Iowans to make sure that we were improving outcomes, that we were increasing access, and that we had a program that was sustainable not only today but into the future.
The state's portion of the increase is 6.5%, or $115 million of the overall $386 million. Reynolds says the increase is part of the negotiated settlement.
We've made progress. We're going to continue every day to reevaluate the program to make sure that there's not other things that we need to do to make it more efficient. But we've started to stabilize the program. We now have 3 years of data, so we know what the program cost. We're not projecting or guessing. We have actual data that we can base this off of.
The system was privatized by then-Governor Terry Branstad, who promised it would save millions of dollars. Reynolds was asked about that promise.
But I'm not Governor Branstad, first of all. I'm Governor Kim Reynolds, and when I was sworn into office, I said to the legislature and to Iowa, you know, we made some mistakes moving forward. We're addressing those.
Reynolds says she is doing what she promised.
It's 1% less that's coming out of the general fund. We've started to bend the cost curve. We've improved access. We've improved, we've increased what we're paying to the providers. In addition to that, we're putting in more accountability for the MCOs.
The governor says her administration will continue looking at the information and working to make things better, and will expect the others involved to do the same.
This is a partnership. It's going to take all of us pulling together.
And Democratic legislators have been critical of the privatizations of the program, and the Iowa Democratic Party chair issued a statement yesterday saying apparently Governor Reynolds is more concerned about her reputation than she is about the health of our state or responsible taxpayer spending. Instead of putting resources toward fixing the broken system, Reynolds is doubling down, handing out bigger raises to MCOs with no accountability for service. Governor Kim Reynolds responded on Wednesday about questions surrounding the appointment of a new director of the Iowa Department of Natural Resources. Bruce Troutman served as the acting director from May of 2018 until Reynolds appointed Kayla Lyon, who took over the position on Monday. Reynolds says nothing was hurt by having an acting director for more than a year.
You know, we had an acting director in there, and Bruce was actually the deputy for years, so very familiar with the office. They didn't skip a beat. He agreed to step into that role as the acting director.
Reynolds says the appointment of Lyon was part of her overall plan to set up her team after winning a full four-year term.
I said I wasn't going to be under anybody's time frame and putting the team together that I felt was really critical to really continue to move Iowa forward and make the changes that we're looking for. And I could not be more proud to have Kayla Lyon serving as the director for the Department of Natural Resources.
Lyon is the first woman to lead the DNR. A judge has dismissed a lawsuit filed by a man who says his rights were violated by police while he was taking video of cars parked illegally at a Des Moines police station. Daniel Robbins said in his September lawsuit that three officers violated his constitutional right to be free from retaliation and false arrest. Robbins said the officers accused him of suspicious behavior, patted him down, and took his cell phone and camera to search them. He was not charged and was eventually let go. The Des Moines Register reports that U.S. District Judge Charles Wool said in his ruling that Robbins' actions of taking video of cars outside the station created reasonable suspicion among the officers that he was engaging in criminal activity, adding that Robbins was given ample opportunity to allay the officers' suspicion. Woolley said because Robbins' rights were not violated, the police under the law are immune from such a lawsuit. And the Charles City Police Department has confirmed it's investigating a report of its police dog attacking someone at the home where the dog lives. The Mason City Globe-Gazette reports that the department issued a news release Monday saying the incident happened on June 25th involving the dog named Jordy and a person at the house. The dog was not on duty at the time. It's common practice for a canine to live in the home of its officer handler. Police have not given details of the attack other than to say the person attacked was treated for minor injuries. Police continue to investigate and say there is no risk to the public. Taking a look at world news headlines here this hour, the European Union says it is making some progress on its controversial barter-type system to trade with Tehran and get around U.S. sanctions as part of its efforts to keep the Iran nuclear deal alive. EU Foreign Policy Secretary General Helga Schmid said Thursday that beyond the 10 EU nations that are already a part of the system, she could share with you that more, also non-EU member states, will join. A senior military officer has accused the Air Force general tapped to be the next vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff of sexual misconduct, potentially jeopardizing the nomination. The officer tells the AP that General John Hyten subjected her to unwanted sexual advances by kissing, hugging, and rubbing up against her in 2017 when she was one of his aides. A Pentagon spokeswoman said Wednesday that Hyten is principled and dedicated and that his nomination remains on course. Democratic and Republican members of the House committees scheduled to question former special counsel Robert Mueller appear to be taking different approaches to next week's hearings. Democrats say they are rereading the Mueller report and even watching old video of Mueller testifying to Congress to gain insight in how to pose questions. The senior Republican on the Judiciary Committee, Ohio's Steve Chabot, says he hasn't started preparing and doesn't expect much new from the event. Boris Johnson, the man likely to become Britain's prime minister within weeks, is denying he played any role in the departure of Britain's ambassador to Washington, who quit after coming under attack from President Donald Trump. Kim Darroch had resigned amid a furor over leaked diplomatic cables, which labeled the Trump White House dysfunctional, clumsy, and inept. The uproar over leaked cables, critical of the Trump administration, followed by the resignation of Britain's ambassador to the U.S., is expected to have a lasting impact on relations. American Academy of Diplomacy President Ronald Newman says foreign relations are about much more than one person. On Wednesday, Ambassador Kim Darroch resigned after the leaked cables appeared in news reports and President Donald Trump sharply criticized him. Now taking a look at your funeral announcements here this morning. Joanne Mildred Lees, age 78, of Avoca, died Saturday at the Oakland Manor Nursing Home. Funeral services for Joanne Lees will be held today at 10:30 a.m. at Trinity Lutheran Church in Avoca. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Glenn Scott, age 84, of Fontenelle, died Friday at the Greenfield Rehab and Healthcare Center. Funeral services for Glenn Scott will be held today at 10:30 a.m. at the Fontenelle United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home Fontenelle has arrangements. Karen Vinnick, age 78, of Audubon, died Sunday at home. Funeral services for Karen Vinnick will be held on Thursday today at 10:30 a.m. at the OD Funeral Home in Manning. Dorothy Carrick, age 97, of Greenfield, died Sunday at the Greenfield Rehab and Healthcare Center. Funeral services for Dorothy Carrick will be held Friday at 11 a.m. at the United Methodist Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home Greenfield has arrangements. Ella Charlene Kalbach, age 93, of Menlo, died Friday at the New Homestead Nursing Home in Guthrie Center. Funeral services for Ella Kalbach will be held on Friday at 11 a.m. at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart. Mary Ludeman, age 88, of Atlantic, died Saturday at the Heritage House in Atlantic. A time of food, fellowship, and visitation with the family of Mary Ludeman will be held Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. in the Activities Room at the Heritage House Health Center. Roland Funeral Service Atlantic is assisting with arrangements. Marjorie LaVon Hill, age 95, of Arizona and formerly of Bagley, died Monday in Arizona. Graveside services for Marjorie Hill will be held Friday at 3 p.m. at the Highland Township Cemetery in Bayard. Twig Funeral Home in Panora has the arrangements. Dan Deacon Grover, age 71, of Atlantic, died Tuesday at the Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. A meal and party in honor of Dan Deacon Grover's last ride will be held Sunday from 1 to 3 p.m. at the Walnut MVET Post number 45. Roland Funeral Home Atlantic has arrangements. Gary Damon, age 65, of Manning, died Monday at Regency Park in Carroll. Funeral services for Gary Damon will be held Monday at 10:30 a.m. at Zion Lutheran Church in Manning. OD Funeral Home Manning has arrangements. Gary Lee Bandit Goebbels, age 59, of Erling, died Tuesday at Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. A massive Christian burial for Gary Bandit Goebbels will be held Monday at 10:30 a.m. at St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Erling. Polly Jones Funeral Home Harlan has arrangements. Larry Chestnut, age 82, of Guthrie Center and formerly of Adair, died Monday at the New Homestead in Guthrie Center. Funeral services for Larry Chestnut will be held on Tuesday at 10:30 a.m. at the United Methodist Church in Adair. Hockerberry Family Care Funeral Home has arrangements. And David H. Robbs, age 72, of Carroll and formerly of Atlantic, Georgia, died on Wednesday at the Friendship Home in Audubon. Celebration of Life graveside services for David H. Robbs will be held at a later date at Fort Snelling National Cemetery in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Kessler Funeral Home Audubon has arrangements. That's a look at your latest in news and funeral announcements on KJAN. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.